I want to talk about one more topic in Tevilas Kelim, and I think it's relevant for a number of issues. And then we'll talk about an introduction to Hag'olas Kelim. And there's a lot to do, but not that much time to do it. In Shulchan Aruch, in Se'if Hei, there's a discussion about whether a sack in Shoshchita or a knife, shemafshitin bo, either the knife that you use for shchita or the knife that you use to, let's say, take the skin off the animal. So yesh misha omer she'eino tzarech tevila, right? There are those who say that you don't require tevila. This is the shita of the mechaber, that you don't require tevila because the dinim of tevila requires only klei se'uda, the shach explains. And the animal that you shecht is not a seuda. The animal is not yet something that you're going to eat. The yesh kolkin, and there are those who disagree. Those who disagree is because those who disagree is because lemaisa you're using the sakin for food, and tovla tovlo below bracha, and the best thing to do, the Rama, is to be tovel the shchita knife without a bracha. The Rama goes on, the barzo shemitaknin behem hamatzis. These, I think, are the red lach. The red lach are, you know, how matzis have these holes in them, so they move up and down and up and down, and they make holes in the matzis. So these barzelim, which are mitaknin the matzos, don't require any tevila. The Rama is so same that way, meaning the mecharva holds that a sack in shoshchita does not require tevila. Categorically, the Rama says yesh kolkin about the sack in shoshchita, and therefore you should be tevel it without a bracha. But then the Rama writes categorically that the barza, which you're mitaking the matzos, does not require tevila. The kisoy on the pas does not require tevila. Kisoy hakadera does require tevila. So this is a little bit of a difficult issue because hasvara no senes. That the sack in shoshchita is not something that works on edible food. The sack in shoshchita works on an animal. An animal is not yet edible. And therefore, it has very no sense that it should be the same as the red lach, should be the same as the matzah hole makers, because it's also working on dough. And dough is not edible. So if the Rama paskens that the sack in shoshchita should be tovel without a bracha, so presumably the din should be that the red lach I should also be tovel without a bracha. That l'cha'ora is what should emerge. So this is a problem. But the mechaber holds that you don't tovel it at all. Chacham Avad Yosef says for the Sfaradim among us that you don't tovel a sack in shoshchita at all. But the Rama says that you do tovel it without a bracha. So if that's the case, you should be tovel the red lach also without a bracha. So the Shach and the Taz are both bothered by this kasha. And the Taz in Os Zayin writes that since the Rama paskens that you should be tovel the sack in shoshchita, you should also be tovel the red lach, albeit without a bracha. The reason why the Rama writes it this way, Zach the Taz, is because the Sefer Issa v'Heter, Ha'aruch has it this way, but Lameisa, it's not true. And then, right, the Taz goes on and he talks about scissors that you use to cut your ruckles, that those scissors are not chayiv in tevila, according to the Prisha. The Bach disagrees, and the Bach brings a raya from the dinim in Chosh and Mishpat. In Chosh and Mishpat, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to take food preparation items as a mashkin. That's a pasuk in the Torah, right? That you can't take a food preparation item as a mashkon. And the Shach Taina is that this thing is considered klei se'uda because you are not allowed to take it as a mashkin, so also it should require tevila. The Taz disagrees. He says, no. He says, maybe you don't compare the dinim of not taking a mashkin to the dinim of tevilas kelim. Okay. But b'kitza ma'aseh, the Taz's maskana is that both by the sakin shel shechita and by the redlach, you should be taiva without a bracha. The shach in os yud aleph also addresses this question, but the shach feels that fundamentally there's a difference between the sakin shel shechita and the redlach. Zok the shach, the sakin shel shechita you're allowed to use, or you can use, for other things. So therefore, even though I'm using it on something which is not yet food, the animal is not food, nonetheless, Zak Nishach, nonetheless, you can use it for other stuff. And since I can use it for other stuff, that's Mechayev Tevila. However, the red lach, you can't use for anything else. If I can't use it for anything else, so therefore there's no tevila that's necessary at all. So there's halacha l'maisa machlokes in the shach and the taz about whether you're tevil the redlach. Okay. The chachmas adam paskins like the shach, which means that you should be tevil the redlach. And in the chokas bin yamin, he paskins that you should be machmir to be tevil the redlach. But if it's very difficult, the Chachmas Adam, the Shach says you don't tevil the red lach at all. Excuse me. The Chachmas Adam says you could be mekel like the Shach and not be tovel the red lach, but lechatchila, ideally, you should be tovel them if it's not difficult. The makom, if there's any sort of shasatcha, kefsid, whatever, so then you follow the Shach and you're not tovel the red lach. That's the din. Now, although the Chachmas Adam passes like the Shach, the Bir HaGra in Os Yudalit, the Gra feels that the Shach is wrong. And the Gra writes that you can't use a Shechita knife for anything else. Haraya, in Hilchas Shabbos is a category of Mukta called Mukta Machmas Chesaring Kis. Mukta Machmas Chesaring Kis means if I have a Keli Shemlachay La'isr that's not used for anything else, so it's a higher standard of Mukta. Usually, a kelishim lachdel iser allowed to move l'tzarech gufo makomo. Muktzah machbis chesaron kis, I can't move l'tzarech gufo makomai. The prima gadim writes that muktzah machbis chesaron kis, you can't even move it al yedei, let's say, kicking it. Right? You can't move muktzah machbis chesaron kis at all. So the Taisvis on Kuf Chaf Gimon Shabbos says, what's a case of a muktzah machbis chesaron kis? One case is a shechita knife. That means you don't use a shechita knife for anything else. So the Gra's Taina is, hey, dear beloved Shach, you're saying that the shechita knife requires tevila, unlike the redlach. Well, the shechita knife you don't use for anything else. If you don't use it for anything else, right, because in Mutzah Machas Kesarin Kis, it should not require any tevila. Moreover, Zok the granos yadalar. We don't follow what is ro'i latashmish. We follow the ikar hatashmish, like it says in Se'if Ches. Se'if Ches writes that if I have a sakin that I buy letzairech klavim, I have a knife that I'm going to use, like I'm a sofer, I'm going to use that knife to cut the klav. So the din is that you don't need any tevila. I, the sakin, is taka ro'oi to use to cut my steak. I happen to use it, letzairach klafim. But I could use it, letzairach my steak. According to the shach, it should require tevila, since in theory I could use it, letzairach the steak. Just like the sakin shoshrita, I could use it, letzairach food. But you see, we don't follow that svar, as up the gra. And therefore, the Gra in Ganzen rejects the Shach, and the Gra would end up saying like the Taz, which is that you have to be toivel the red lach, just And there's no distinction between something that you could use for something else, etc. And he says this in two directions. The sakin shel shechita you can't use for something else. Moreover, zok the gra. Moreover, the fact that I could use it for something else doesn't matter because in Sifches we see by the sakin l'tzarach klafim, it doesn't matter that I could use it for something else. So in the Chelkas Binyamin, he tries to distinguish that maybe the tzarach of klafim is using it for something that is not a food item. And therefore, if I designate it for something that's not food, that's different than designating it for something which is somewhat food, like the animal. But that's already a very dakistic echelik. That's a very fine point. The nafkaminas between the Shach's pshat and the Taz's pshat relate to, let's say, I remember one time we had a pasta maker. A pasta maker was a keli that all it would do is you would put the dough in. There's like semolina wheat that you use to make pasta, and you'd make dough out of the semolina wheat. Then you'd make it into like a thin sheet. And then you would put that sheet into the pasta maker and it would make it into pasta. It would make it into spaghetti. It's like a shtick. You make your own homemade spaghetti. Do you toivo the, do you toivo it? So according to the Taz, the Cha'ori, you should toivo it. According to the Shach, one could argue since a pasta maker can only be used to make pasta, can only be used for something that's not fundamentally food. Dough is not food, just like the red lach, right? You use them on the dough to make a matzah, it's not food. So therefore, the pasta maker would not need to vila according to the Shach. There's a discussion over here about the rechayim. The rechayim shel pilpul in Sif Zayin. If I have a grinder for peppers, so in that case, rechayim shel pilpulin, does it require tevila or not? So if there's barzel, so then it requires tevila. Zakjeb kiva eger, and the other achrenim over here about the rechayim shel pilpulin. If you look in the Pisrei Tshuva Osches, he quotes, what about a rechayim shel coffee? You have to tovel your coffee grinder. So he says, well, a coffee grinder is the same as a shechita knife because the ground coffee is not usable kishala atzmo, no? It's only usable ayade some sort of bishul. Just like the animal is not food yet. So it's, what's it called? It's not... the ground coffee is not food yet. If the ground coffee is not yet food, so therefore it should require, if the ground coffee is not food, it should be the same as the red lach, because you can only use a coffee grinder to grind coffee, or you only do use it to grind coffee. So therefore it should be the same as the red lach. And therefore, according to the Shach, it would not require tevila. And according to the Taz, it would require tevila without a bracha. So there are two nafkaminos that we have so far, just machlokes Shach and Taz. Yitzi?
Even according to Taz, would you be mekel? Assuming it's an electric coffee grinder, there'd be some sort of tircha?
Yeah, so la halacha, the Chokas Binyamin's conclusion, it depends on the tircha. So if I have an electric coffee maker, it should not require an electric coffee grinder, should not require any tevila, because if you paskin fundamentally like the Shach, just you try to be machmir like the Taz, so the makaim, hefsid, tircha, whatever it is, so then we won't have to be machmir like the Taz, right? That's what would emerge in the Chalkas Bin Yamin's presentation. Jesse? Yeah, I just skipped you, but I'll get to you later. Yeah.
Would we reach a point where we say that dough is
some
people eat
some kind of
cookie dough?
Yeah, so some people eat cookie dough, yeah. I was thinking about that. I don't think enough people eat it.
They sell it. They even sell it. They sell cookie dough.
They sell cookie dough ice cream.
Right?
Do they sell? Does any? I mean, they sell cookie dough that you'll bake it after. Do they sell?
They sell like there are real desserts that are dough.
Okay, so enokonomi. If they really sell it, it's something you eat. So then, all bets are off. My guess is that no one eats plain matzah dough. I mean, that's my guess. I will say that it's bad for you, the cookie dough, to lick the batter, because like the raw eggs or something isn't good for you. But that's a different conversation. Okay, so these are some of the nafkaminas between the shach and the taz. Now, if you continue in that shach in Sifkot and Yud Aleph, the shach at the end of the shach writes, and it's hard to understand what he's talking about, but in light of this conversation about kalim, which only operate on raw food, so the shach writes, "Hamakdeach shemenachvim bo barizos hachovios in tzarch tevila." Right, if you have a barrel, let's say of wine, and you have a barrel piercer that opens the barrel of wine, even though that barrel piercer ends up being in contact with the food at some point, zok the shach, it doesn't require tevila against the maharil. And the minig is that we don't taivo the makdeach. The relevance of this, of course, in the Chokas Binos of Kotem Mem Gimel, is that you don't have to be tovel a can opener. You don't have to be tovel a corkscrew, even though they end up touching the food, but you don't have to be tovel it. Now, this brings us to a Keurig. Do you have to be tovel your Keurig? So I spent time upstairs this morning in the Rebbe Lounge with Rabbi Warblowski, and we spent time looking at the Keurig. And let me explain to you the story. The entire Keurig is plastic. We don't tovel plastic, either because the plastic is unlike glass and you can't melt it down and put it back together, although there are different types of plastics, as we pointed out, like 11 different forms of polymers that are used to make plastic. Some of them you actually can melt down and redo it, like the svara that the Gemara has about glass. But there's another svara, which is that plastic is not makabel tuma at all. Like we have in Hilchas Nida, polyester is not makabel tuma, we paskin. Plastic is not makabel tuma. And if we take the dimyon that the Pisrei Tshuva and the Reb Kiva Eger have about the big wine barrel, about the big wine barrels, that it's not makabel tuma because it's like mechubel karka. So therefore, maybe there's no tevila on the plastic. But the problem is that the Keurigs have a little bit of metal. The Keurigs have a little bit of metal on them. So you look upstairs at the Keurig, the metal, l'cha'ayra, just pierces the metal pierces the, what's it called, the C cup? What's the name of the cup?
The K cup.
The K cup, right? The, you know, whatever. You can have a hard C, which sounds like a K. But the metal pierces the K cup. So the cha'ira, it's lo gara from a bottle opener that should not require tevila. Nonetheless, Rabbi Warblowski and I spend time looking at the Keurigs. The way the Keurig works is that there is hot water. The hot water goes through like a plastic tube. The plastic tube ends up coming out on top of the metal thing. So therefore, maybe one could argue that requires tevila for that reason. Because it's ki'ilu using part of the thing that cooks the coffee is touching metal. So it's ki'ilu, I have a keli that's partially metal and partially plastic. And one could possibly argue that there's a chiyuv of tevila in that case. Now, this brings us to a discussion. What's the status of a keli that's partially metal and partially some other non-tevila dika material? So the Rama in Se'if Zayin talks about the mashpechol shel barzel. Right? If I have, it's hard to know exactly what the tzir is. In the Chalkas Binyamin page, Resh Ayin Zayin, I believe, he has a long biur about what exactly this looks like. But if I have a metal spout, right? And the barzels are barzel and sha'ar matzvus, it requires tevila. But dafka, if the ikar kli is shal matzvus, avam ikar kli who shall eat, vakshema at barzel kavu abo, ho ve'efshel ishtamish bo, below barzel, insar tevila. Right? So the Ramah writes that these mashpechos don't require tevila if the ikar kli is a non-metal thing. And it's Efshel Hishdamish Bo without the, what's it called, without the metal. You can read the Ramah that if it's E Efshel Hishdamish Bo without the metal, so then it would, what's it called? Then it would require Tevila. And in the Shach in Ois Tes Vav, the Shach discusses that maybe this is not called a maimid, maybe it is called a maimid because the kli can last without it. So Rabbi Wroblewski this morning was tining that maybe there's a svar why you should have to be tovel the keurig in theory, because it's, what's it called? Because the hot water touches the metal and it's not shy of to use the keurig without that situation. So I don't think this is correct, because l'cha'ira, the metal is only the can opener. The metal only opens the K-cup. In theory, were I to have some basket, a plastic basket with the coffee in it, if I pierce open the K-cup, right, and the water goes through, you don't need the metal. The metal is only to open the K-cup. So the chorik should not require tevila out that din. But I remember years ago, I spoke to Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz about this Keurig K-cup situation. And he told me that his brother, Rabbi Avi Leibowitz is the Rosh Kollel in Palo Alto. He happened to have been my chavrusa. In my previous life, I learned in Ner Yisrael before I did tshuva and I came to YU. But Reb Avi Leibowitz asked Reb Nota Greenblatt about being toivol a Keurig. The problem is, Hazoy, usually when we talk about electric items, like a urn or the like, so the assumption is that although it says do not immerse in water, but everybody knows that if you do immerse it in water, nothing bad's going to happen, providing you let it dry out. Nonetheless, you can't say this about a Keurig, because a Keurig has a lot of electric devices as part of it. And just like if I would put my laptop in water, my laptop would get broken, even if you're going to dry it out after. So you put your Keurig in water, it's mamish going to get broken. So what do you do about being titled the Keurig? So at first glance, the entire Keurig looks plastic. However, underneath the Keurig, apparently, there are metal coils which actually heat the water. So Hasvara Nosen is that maybe you need to vila out those metal coils. But one could argue that this is not a machayev of tevila at all. You see, there's a few ways of saying this. Reb Moshe Feinstein, that Shuvan, Chelak Aleph Siman Nun Zayin, about the urn, but the old-fashioned urns, you have like the heating part at the bottom. So Moshe says, I view it like it's two separate kalim. Meaning to say, right, if I would have, let's say, a coil underneath the pot, you don't have to toivel that coil. So here also, one could argue that I don't have to toivel the coil. The coil heats the water. Maybe the coil is viewed like a separate kalim than the water. That's where it's a little bit difficult. Reb Avi Leibowitz Tainer, a different svara. Reb Aryeh just sent me a blog post about this, that he said that the halacha is that balua by tevila of a human being, or I don't know, balua, but beis hasesarim, by tuma of a human being, requires bias mayim. Balua doesn't require bias mayim, but I should say it like this. By beis hasesarim, it has to be ro'i l'bias mayim. Right? That's the din in Siman Kuf Tzadiches. Beis hasesarim, it has to be, the Gemara in Kedushin has a story that Amse the Rebbe went to the mikvah and they found some meat in her teeth after the tevila, and Hitzricha Rebbe tevila acheres, because even though Beis HaSesarim doesn't actually require biasmayim befoal, the teeth are Beis HaSesarim, but it has to be royal biasmayim, and therefore, what's it called? And therefore, this is not Roy Labias Mayim, because you have meat in the teeth. So by a human being, Tevila requires Roy Labias Mayim. By Kalim, the Beis HaSesarim does not need Roy Labias Mayim. So that's Rabbi Avi Leibowitz's Svara, that he wanted to tell you that by the Kalim, it doesn't require Roy Labias Mayim. By the Keurig, it doesn't have to be Roy Labias Mayim, because let me find it, that by the kalim, it doesn't have to be roi labias mayim, because lemaisa kalim don't require roi labias mayim. That's his basic.
How does he know that?
Well, that's a din in simin, the din of tefila by kalim in kuf kuf beis. Here, he writes in resh beis, right? The halacha of tefilas kalim is that beis hasesarim, the hidden areas of the kli don't require tevila. See 2025 and the last taz over there. Unlike tevila of a person where there's a problem of chatzitza, even the beis hasesarim, because it has to be roi labias mayim, by a keli it doesn't have to be roi labias mayim. The coffee maker is constructed in a way that the food comes in contact with the beis hasesarim, etc. The only metallic part of the kli is beis hasesarim. Therefore, by beis hasesarim, you don't need roi labias mayim, so therefore it's going to be okay. That's his basic cheshbon. I'm not convinced that this is right, because I think it's right. I think you don't need tevila for two other reasons. Over here by the Keurig, I don't think it's beis hasesarim. The halacha by tevila of a human being is that there's a difference between balua and the beis hasesarim. Let's say I have a pacemaker. Can I go to the mikvah? Of course, because the pacemaker is balua and the guf. Reb Kiva Eger writes that beis hasesarim, let's say the osel makom of a woman, the area that sometimes is megula, sometimes is mechusa, that is considered beis hasesarim. But an area that's never megula is considered balua. The teeth is considered beis hasesarim. But the area that's always mechusa, that's called balua. And even by a human, you don't need roi labias mayim by a balua. So the pashtus is this case is a balua. No, safakach, we have the general issue about tevila of electric kalim. We spoke about this a little bit in passing. We said this very, that maybe an electric kalim is considered mechubar, and maybe we have the dimyon to tevila. We have the dimyon to tuma and tahara. That we felt is a little bit difficult. But there's another svara, which is that if tevilas kalim is a mitzvah fundamentally, not a matir, so how can you hold that there's a mitzvah to do something when the thing will get ruined by doing it? It's not reasonable, right? We have one svara that we spoke about that you can't have a mitzvah if there's going to be real hefsid. That's like the Avni Nezer, that if you do a bris on the kid won't be able to walk, right? There's no chiv of a mitzvah when there's going to be a hefsid. Over here, it's a little bit different. If by doing the mitzvah, I'm going to ruin the item, so that I don't have to do the mitzvah. Right? So one could argue that that's the reason why you don't have to toivel a Keurig, because if the Keurig is going to get ruined, which it will, so you don't have to toivel it. Some people try to sell these things to Goyim. I mentioned that I don't like the idea of selling it to Goyim, because inevitably you'll buy a new one when it still is usable, and then you're stealing from the Goyim. If it's broken, you're not stealing from the Goyim. If it's not broken, so then it's really a problem. Some people have an electrician take it apart and put it back together. I don't think you could do that by a Keurig. I think you could do that maybe by an urn, not by a Keurig. And even by an urn, when you do that, it's like the keli is nasa yidei Yisrael. This keli itself doesn't have doesn't require tevilah because this keli itself is going to get ruined. If a Jew takes it apart and puts it back together, it's not this keli. So b'kitzer, the ideas that we wanted to mention about the Keurig are relevant for tevilas kelim. He says, after Kentodigram, not to Greenblatt, he concurred with this Svara. Okay, for a shiur on this topic, listen to my brother. That's the way the two of them like work as a tag team. Okay, so that's the basic story about Tevila of the about Tevila of the Keurig. Let's talk about Hechsher Kelim. Let's do a hakdama to the dinim of Hechsher Kelim. Yeah. A wine corkscrew does not need any tevila because it's just like the posachas, just like the end of that shachsiv katan yud aleph. The thing that bursts open the barrel doesn't require tevila, even though it comes in contact. A wine corkscrew does not need tevila. A can opener does not need tevila. All these things don't require tevila at all because, yeah, any contact with the food is not really contact with the food in a way that you want it to happen. So therefore, it does not require tevila. I think that's what emerges. Any other questions about tevilas kelim? Okay, let's move on to hagalas kelim. Hagalas kelim is interesting. The Sefer Iser V'Heter, the end of Klal Nun Ches, raises the kasha. Now, how come I make a bracha when I do tevilas kelim, but when I do hagalas kelim, I don't make a bracha? That's the Iser V'Heter's kasha. So the Iser V'Heter answers that hagalas kelim is fundamentally just getting rid of an aveira, getting rid of an iser. Tevilas kelim is different. Tevilas kelim is really a mitzvah. There's no iser on the keli itself. The food won't become treif, like it says at the end of Kufchah. The food doesn't become treif if you don't do the tevila. So therefore, right, tevila is fundamentally just a mitzvah. Hag'olas kelim is a matir. He's medama hag'olas kelim to nikur hagid and chelev. You don't make a bracha when you get rid of the gid hanosha from an animal. That's just removing an iser. So also hag'olas kelim, there's no bracha because all you're doing is removing an iser. Now, this idea makes sense if you hold the tam ke'ikr is do'iraiso. If I hold tam ke'ikr is do'iraiso, that means that, again, the pashtus is that the Torah has a din of hag'olas kelim, at least by a kli ben yomo, right? That's what we learn from Mochemes Midyon. So if tam ke'ikr is do'iraiso, I could say that the din of tevilas kelim is to remove the iser. It's like removing the gid, right? It's like nikar hagid v'hachelev, right? That's what should emerge. But if I hold that tam ke'ikr is a din d'rabbanan, so that means l'cha'ora that hag'olas kelim is not to remove an iser. The keli is not treif on the level of d'oraisa, and hag'olas kelim is a din d'oraisa. It has to be that the yesod of hag'olas kelim is to add an additional hechsher to the keli. If you look in the Ra'ah in Bayis Dalet on Daf Yud Aleph, the Ra'ah has a svara that hag'olas kelim is a ma'ila v'alma. Right? In other words, we spoke about this in the context of the Shach in Kuf Yud Gimel. The Shach says that by bishulei nachrim, it's batel berov. That means it's kim'at impossible that you could treif up the food. Even so, the din is that you require hechsher kelim by bishulei nachrim. That's what we saw at there's two opinions in the end of Kuf Yud Gimel, whether you require hechsher kelim. So you see that hechsher kelim is not just a way of getting rid of an iser. Hechsher kelim is not the same as nikur hagid. The pashtus is that hechsher kelim is a mitzvah. And certainly, hechsher kelim for Pesach, l'cha'ora is a mitzvah, no? When I do hag'alas kelim for Pesach, it's not yet aser. It's, right? It's mutter. Right now, it's not chametz. Yet I do hag'alas kelim. So the pashtus is, the hag'alas kelim for chametz is mamish a mitzvah. It's not just, it's not a matir. If that's the case, right? So then how come there's no bracha by the hag'alas kelim? Now, this is not such a kasha because, you know, brachas are tricky, right? So there are times that you have a mitzvah and there's no bracha, and then you got to scratch your head why there's no bracha. I don't know if it's like an absolute raya, but the kasha remains if you hold that there are scenarios where you have to do hag'olas kelim and there's no iser at all. Right, if I hold Tom Kicker's Durabanan or by Pesach with Tatarabola, right? You have to be omed on the question, how come there's no bracha on the Hag'olas Kalim in that situation? Now, this question, whether Hag'olas Kalim is fundamentally a mitzvah or it's fundamentally a matir, is relevant for another discussion, the Afareshet Sichati. Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Beis talks about when I buy kelim from a goy, kelim that were used b'chamin, so you have to be mag'ilon v'acharkach matbilon. You have to do hag'ola, and then you're toivel the keli. Im hitbilon v'acharkach hig'ilon is mutter. If I'm toivel the keli, and then I do the hag'olah, it's going to be mutter. V'yesh omrim shetzarech lachzar ula hakbilon. The second opinion of the Mechaber is that if I do tevila before hag'olah, the tevila is not relevant. The tevila is not effective. It doesn't help. So there are two opinions in the Mechaber, whether tevila works before hag'olah. The Tosfos on Ayin Hey Amid Beis, the bottom Tosfos says that Tevila works before Hag'olah because this Tevila is not a din in Tum and Tahara. That's the Lashon of Tosfos, right? That's relevant for the conversation we had in terms of an electric keli, right? Or a keli of plastic. It's not Makabal Tuma. Tosfos says that Tevilas Kelim is unconnected to Tumah, and therefore the din of Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado does not apply to Tevilas Kelim, because Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado is a halacha by Tumah. So over here, what I'm going to say is, if I do the Tevila beforehand, what are you going to tell me? It's Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado, right? How? You can't say Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yado Zaktaisis because the Tevila is not based on Tum and Tahara, so therefore there's no Sheretz. Right? Sheretz is only a din and Tumah. That's the way Tosfos presents it. Okay. Those who disagree, L'cha'ora say that the reason why you need Hag'olah mag'ilon v'acharkach matbilon, and there are some who say it has to be mag'ilon v'acharkach matbilon even l'ikuva, is because tova v'sheretz b'yadoi is not just a din in tumah tahara. Tova v'sheretz b'yado means that the tevila has to get rid of everything. The tevila, so to speak, has to be a matir. And if I have a tevila that's not a matir, that's not a tevila. A tevila that's not a matir, hasnish tevila. That's already, that's an interesting yesod. Interesting yesod. Now, the Dogomer Revava, on the bottom of the page, the Dogomer Revava says that even according to the Shita, by the way, the Shach Paskins, that if you do the tevila before the hag'olah, you should be toivel again. Right? The shach pas, you should be toivel again without a bracha. That's a shach and os hay. Right? Meaning that we're choshesh for this opinion that the order is dafka. The order is mag'ilon v'acharkach matbilon. That order, by the way, is based on the pasuk. The Torah writes, kol asher yavo ba'esh, right? Taviru b'mayim, v'taher, something like that. First the Torah speaks about hag'ala, then the Torah speaks about tevila. The Vilna Gaon writes that this is based on mefurash b'Torah. That's what the Grayan Os Gimel writes. The reason for mag'ilon v'achachach matbilon is because it's a beferish pasuk. So a few ha'aros. Ha'ara one. Rav Shechter develops a theme in the Sefer Ginas Egels that we only have l'chatchila d'oraisas by a mitzvah, not by a matir. Right? Tosfos writes in Samach Vav and Nida. Was this a Bechina question? Right? This is like, Rav Shechter loves this. Right? Tosfos writes in Samach Vav and Nida that the requirement, there's no requirement to open your mouth. A woman has no requirement to open her mouth when she goes into the mikvah, because even though there might be a din that it should have bias mayim, right? If it's not royal bias mayim, it's an equal. But Zok Taisus, no. Since tevila is a matir, it's not a mitzvah. So therefore, there's no requirement of lechatchila to open the mouth, because on a matir, there's no din do'iraisa. There's no lechatchila do'iraisa by a matir. Right? Am I quoting this accurately? So if I hold, like the Isser v'heter ha'aruch, that hag'olas kelim is fundamentally a matir, and if I hold that tevilas kelim, like we spoke about, is fundamentally a matir also, so to say that there's a lechatchila, everybody holds, I should do hag'ola and then tevila, right? That's what everybody holds. The question is, b'di'eved, if I do tevila before the hagola, does it help? But l'chatchila, I should do it. Why? In order to say l'chatchila, I should do hagola before tevila, and this is a din d'oraisa, again, hagola for sure is d'oraisa, whether tevila's came as d'oraisa or not, t'machlokas Rashi in the Ramban, right? But then you end up in the converse, in the place that can there be a l'chatchila d'oraisa by something which is a matir. Now, remember, the Isser v'Heter says that it's a matir. The Hagolah is a matir. And we spoke about the possibility that Tevila is a matir, right? That's what the Rambam seems to say. Rambam holds that there's no bracha in Tevila, right? So it would be an interesting idea that you need l'chatchila d'iraisa by something which is really a matir. But let's go weiter. The Dogomir Vava says that the din that you, or the possibility that the sequence is ma'akev, that you need hag'ola before tevila, because if not, it's tovo v'sheretz biyado. The Taz quotes that lashon of tovo v'sheretz biyado. That's the lashon all the Rishonim. That possibility is the Dogomir Vava. Is true only if it's a kli that's ben yomo. If it's a kli she'eno ben yomo, zakti dago merivava, right? Ein kan shum sheretz midoraisa teter gamur. By a kli she'eno ben yomo, right? It's nice and time of gam. There's no sheretz at all. Now, in Rabbi Ganek's Sefer, in volume 1, page 36, he says, whoa, 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 maybe this issue is totally in the machlokas between the Rashba and the Re'ah about, by the way, gentlemen, are you realizing that we're at a time in the year that we're like not saying any chadushim, right? There's a machlokas Rashba and the Re'ah. What's the status of the Balua Bedofna Hakli? Do I assume that it is L'Shevach? Just that when it comes out, it will adversely affect whatever it goes into. But kol zman, it's balua, it's gishmak. Or do I say that, no, the balua is bad tasting. there is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Rav about this nakuda. So one could argue that the Dogo Merivava is making an assumption that the Balua Shebekli is already Pogum. Well, if that's the case, we don't paskin like that assumption. Because we paskin that Nosin Tan Lufgam is Usher by Pesach. Ashkenazim paskin, Nosin Tan Lufgam is Usher by Pesach. Why is Nosin Tan Lufgam Usher by Pesach? L'cha Ora, the reason why it's Usher by Pesach is because the only heter of Nosin Tan Lufgam is because it is Batul. Meaning, right? It's Batul. It's not Pogum already. It's Geshmak, but it's Batul. Well, by Chometz of Pesach, there's no Batul. If it's Geshmak, just Batul, so therefore what should emerge is that the Dogo Merivava is wrong. Because the Dogo Merivava is saying Ein Kan Sheretz. The reason why there's no Sheretz is because the stuff in the Dofnei Akli is already Pogum. But if I hold that it is geshmak when it's in the Daif Ne'akli, just if it comes out, it's going to be batal, etc. So then I would hold that Noisen Tan Lefgam is going to be Mutter on Pesach. Then we hold that it's geshmak in the Kli. When it comes out, it's going to be batal. And therefore, it doesn't apply to Chametz and Pesach. That means we assume it's geshmak in the Kli. That would be against the Dogo Merivava. That's how begin Exa'ara. Rabbi Ganek has a suggestion that maybe the discussion over here relates to another issue, which is, can you have tevila, which is not a matir? Can you go to the mikvah when there is no heter that emerges? Another way of saying this is, and I heard this from Rav Schechter years ago, when we say that there's a problem of tovel b'sheretz b'yado, does that mean that my tevila is a good tevila? But when I come out of the mikvah and I'm holding a sheretz, that sheretz is metame me again. Or does toivo v'sheretz biyado mean that there is no heter of tevila because the tevila is not a matir? The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva that if a person does tshuva but is not misvada, that's like your tovel v'sheretz biyado. Right? What does that mean? L'chayre, that means that the tshuva is ineffective. Right? That would mean that the tevila v'sheretz biyado is an ineffective tevila. It would not be that the tevila is effective, just it is metame you afterwards. That would mean l'cha'ora, that tevila has to be a matir. I can't have a tevila that's not a matir. Right? This issue is relevant in a number of places in Hilchos tevila. Can you go to the mikvah when you don't become tahira? There was a practice in the Rishonim that they would go to the mikvah after dam tameh, before dam tayhar, even though, right, Rabbeinu Tam has this in Maseches Tainis and Maseches Yuma, even though they made a gezeira on dam tohar already, that we're not boil on dam tohar, but still there is a practice that they would go to the mikvah after dam tameh, before dam tohar. Well, is that effective? Does it do anything? Or some people have a practice, some people machmir, that artificial insemination. So very often artificial insemination has to happen during the time that the woman, during the Shiva Nikiyam of a woman. Do you tell a woman to go to the mikvah based on the fact that min hatayra, she's already tahira? Or she can become Tahira min ha-tahira, because it's only Takana, only Chumad Reb Zera that you need Zayin Nikim. In most cases, you don't need Zayin Nikim. So do you say that you should go to the mikvah to avoid the issue of a Ben Hanida? Right? So Min Chas Yitzchak is machmer on this, that she should go to the mikvah. Right? It's questionable. Maybe going to the mikvah is completely ineffective if going to the mikvah is not a matahir. What Rabbi Ganek wants to argue is that the two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch, right, are not. One could have said the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch forget the Dogo Merivava about on the status of Nisan Tam of Gam. But one could argue the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch depend in general about whether you can have Tevila, which is not a Matir. If you hold that you need Hagolah v'acharkach Tevila, that means the Tevila that I have after the Hagolah is a Matir. So that's a good Tevila. But if I have Tevila v'acharkach Hagolah, it doesn't help because it's not a Matir. But maybe Tevila doesn't have to be a Matir. So it's just chazer what we had, because I want to make sure it's clear. There are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch about whether Tevila v'acharkach Hagolah helps. There are two ways of understanding the Nekudas HaMachlokas. One way of understanding the Nekudas HaMachlokas relates to mitzvah and matir, right? Whether you can have a lechatchila d'oraisa by something that's a matir, or alternatively, whether I'm dealing with tevila and hagala, are they mitzvahs or they are matirim? There are different ways of saying the same type of idea, begadol. But then there's another way of saying this, which is that the question relates to whether you could have tevila, which is not a matir. And that's relevant for the minhag of the Rabbi Nutam, going to the mikvah after Demei Tuma, before Yemei Tahara. It's relevant for the artificial insemination, Shaila. It's relevant in a number of cases. Can you go to the mikvah when there is no matir that emerges? And Rav Shechter has that raya, the interesting raya from Hilchas Tshuva, that you see that tevila has to be a matir. And that might be the two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch. So again, we're moving on. These are the dinim. Dogom Ervava, very important. Right? If it's a cliche, no ben yomo. So then the Dogom Ervava tainas that there is no requirement of tevila, of hagala v'acharkach tevila, because there's no sheretz. One could argue that there still is a sheretz, like we explained, and kol davar al mekomo, yavo b'shalom, have a good day, gentlemen.